just open up and bleed. My name is Eugene K. Chung Radio. As usual, we have a very special guest who is chiming in nonstop and will continue to chime in for the next 59 minutes. Thank you for tuning in. Special guest, will you introduce yourself to all the inquiring minds out there?
Hey, inquiring minds. My name's Marcel.
Okay.
Alcala.
Barca. Alcala.
And I live in LA and I'm from Santa Ana.
And you just brought out your notebook. Are you going to be taking notes? This is about you, Marcel.
Oh, it's about me?
Yeah, this is basically about you. Or you have things you want to talk about? Because we can talk about anything. I know you have no idea what this is. I basically kidnapped you to be on here.
I'm down. I picked you up, girl.
Kidnapping? That's like a trigger warning, right?
Kidnapping. Like, no, kidnapping is not a trigger warning.
No, but there's a lot of, problematic kidnapping going on all over the world. And potentially, depending on what country you're from, that could trigger something.
Oh, yeah,
something.
For sure. Like, if you're...
Maybe from Mexico or something. Or Colombia.
Colombia.
Yeah.
Trigger.
Nigeria.
Nigeria is a trigger.
No, but I mean kidnapping in Nigeria.
Nigeria.
I read a great article about Nigeria the other night about Nigeria is one of the largest oil producers in the world.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. But as is common with the legacy of colonialism, right? They don't have any functional refineries.
Okay.
They've been sending out all of their oil to turn into gas, even though they're one of the biggest producers in the world. They're up there with Venezuela and Russia. They're up there, and America.
You know your gas.
I know my gases, I know it very well after all my Tommy Burgers. Now because the gas prices have gone down, as I'm sure we've all noticed, right? That means that the amount they can get per barrel is at a record low, and so they don't have a lot of money to import the refined gas, right? So there's a gas shortage in Nigeria, even though they're one of the biggest petroleum exporters in the world. So the story was about the reporter just went down the line of people waiting 5 hours in line in their cars to get gas. And it was just fascinating, moms trying to, calculate if they can pick up their kids from school, and, a woman who owns a farm and has, 3,500 chickens and is, super nervous that they're not going to be, fed because that's on her to, feed them. And, minibus drivers who, have, 20 people stuck in their car. On New York Times. It was a good article in New York Times.
Okay. That's so sad.
It is sad, right? So, and then the government said, I'm going to close this door.
Real quick. And the government of Nigeria said...
That they're just reviving the three refineries that they have in the country. They're old. They're, really behind the times. But their goal, I guess, in the next 10 years is to make sure that all of the gas Nigeria needs can be produced in the country, which is great, and which would have been a great thing to, set up in terms of the infrastructure, 40 years ago. Or if, let's say, the...
How do gas companies, decide where they're getting their oil from?
It's who has the most natural resources. So Saudi Arabia, obviously, Saudi Arabia is the biggest producer of gas in the world, I think. And then OPEC, which is the oil-producing nations, it's the NATO, but the EU of oil-producing nations, they all band together and they determine the prices. But there's only so much they can do when there's a larger supply than there is a demand. Right?
So
then the prices go down.
If there's a shortage, how does it become cheaper?
No. There's only a shortage
in Nigeria.
Yeah, there's a shortage in Nigeria because they export crude oil, right? That's not gas. You can't power gas. But they don't have any refineries to make gas. So they make a lot of their money from crude. But when the prices go down for crude oil barrels, they don't have a lot of money in their economy. So they can't buy back. They can't import gasoline, which is what they need, which is why there's a shortage. It's really ironic and sad that they don't have the refineries in their country. And I do think a large part of that has to do with we're gonna exploit your land, i.e. Western world who colonized Africa. We're gonna exploit your land and we're gonna make sure that you can't really take advantage of it. All you can do is give us your raw resources. We're not going to set up refineries here because then you would have control of it. You know?
So how does this make you feel with your new car?
Oh, that car is a nightmare, man.
I have an Echo 2000, so it doesn't. I don't feel like
you have tinted windows, my friend. You have some of them. You know the thing about tinted windows. And I was just in Marcel's car. It was nice enough to come pick me up. Is that they're supposed to give off the illusion of sort of like it's like an invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
Marcel's tinted windows almost do the opposite. They draw attention to themselves because they're like crackling off.
I can't believe I haven't gotten stopped or anything.
Yeah,
I'm totally lucky.
Have you ever been in a street race?
No. Actually, yeah.
So but not driving?
In Mexico. Oh. I was like, you know, like
revving
in the back, like uh-huh. like with like a skirt, like just like let's do
it. Who were you there with?
This is like my cousin mm-hmm. On like a Raptor. It's like an ATV.
Whoa, like an ATV street race?
ATV street race.
What is an ATV? It's like a four-wheeler quad. So it's like he's driving and you're like holding on to him sort of thing?
Yeah.
Did you guys win?
No.
Huh.
No, because we were against this guy that was in, like, a ninja.
Right, and he's only one person.
Just one yep. person.
Who in your family do you think gets you the most?
Gets me not, the most?
Like, even extended family.
Mom by default. I'm the youngest of three, so, like, she's always been, like, supportive, like, super, like, smizey, like checking, like, eye contact shade, but, like, love.
But you just feel you like know? She's supportive by default, or you think she, like, goes into the deep? Like, when you do, like, so you're a performance artist, a painter, clown. You're a sort of social organizer, you're a provocative clowner. you know, you have your own vibe and your own MO, and it's not like like how probably your mom or whomever envisioned your life. You know, your parents envisioned like a certain life for you, or mine at least did.
My mom, I mean, just she's been supportive since like day one from deciding that I want to go to like art school.
Right.
She signed the loan. Like that's fucked up and that's crazy.
I know. Mine too. It's horrible. Don't you feel guilty?
I feel so guilty.
Does she ever get the phone calls? My mom sometimes gets the phone calls.
She gets the phone calls, but I pay for them every month.
Yeah, me too. But it's like, does she ever call you and she's like, I got the phone call, Marcel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the hell are you doing about this?
Oh, yeah. She's like, do you need help? Like, she actually like this fucking girl. She's like, do you need help?
And that's nice.
And I'm like, no, I got this.
But dude, like when my mom calls him, she's like, what's going on? I got the phone call. I'm like, I'm working right now, Mom. I can't talk about this, but I'll deal with it in the next, like, 4 days. And then she's like, okay.
Well, Mom's a trigger, so, like, I'll, like, talk to her about it and be like, no, don't worry,
oh,
Mommy.
My God, of course. And then you hang up and you're, like, feel, like, anxious, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm, like, anxious because there's, like, zero money.
Yeah, I know, but you can't tell them. Ugh, I know.
But you know it's okay because like moments like Oslo, like I'm gonna go clown in Oslo or like do research for a performance in actually August. And when I tell my mom,
so you're going to Oslo to do research.
I'm going to Oslo to do research.
That's
for
great.
A week,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that means.
There's a clowning tradition there.
No, I mean this is for there's an art collective called Trollkrem.
Well,
one of
good
the
name.
Artists, his name is Tor Eric.
Right.
And he came and did a studio visit like
with you.
Yeah, a month ago. Mm-hmm. Shout out Tyler Oyer for hooking that up because you know, studio visits are how we get shit done.
Yeah, it's the real way of networking in your world, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's actually helpful instead of like going to the art show and like looking at people,
maybe like drinking, like snapping on things, or like being uninspired by art, which happens about 80% of the time, if not more.
Oh my God, all the time, capital. But yeah, so he checked out my paintings and mm-hmm. like at this video that I did performing nonconformity.
Yeah, love all that stuff. I'm a big fan. It's part of my history.
Donks. and they were really into it. And I think I was surprised that they were into it because I was just.
It's multiple people or just this guy Tor?
It was multiple. I don't.
Okay, but they're all from this organization.
But they're all like a crew.
Troll crew.
In Oslo. Trollkrem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, my first instinct because I had just come back from Europe was to like. I I loved Europe because it was different. But
it's older.
It's older. It's pretty.
Right. Like, they maintain.
The Instagram pics are so hot.
Like, in America, we destroy, like, our history more or less. And there, they, like, maintain.
Yeah. Even the racism, which is, like, super internalized. When I was there, and, like, all the artwork is...
What do you like better? Is super internalized racism or externalized?
It seemed internal.
What do you like better?
What do I like better?
Yeah, what do you prefer? Like, people to be polite and have, like, really kind of, like, biased judgments about you that they don't even acknowledge being biased?
That's a hard-ass
Or, like, being in a place probably like America
external, because then I'm like, I don't fuck with that person.
Right.
Like, oh, that person I won't fuck with. If I'm, like, hanging out with you and then, like, I figure out you're, like, stupid.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, shit, I wasted my time.
Yeah, ignorant. Dumbass.
Oh my god, I just wrote this poem about, like, getting a chest tattoo that says ignorance is bliss.
I would enjoy hearing it, if you
want. Oh my god, should I just do it?
Yeah, please. I mean, it's not, like, 30 minutes long.
I'm doing something for the Poetic Research Bureau on Saturday at 7:30.
Great, where is that?
It's actually in Chinatown.
I'm there.
Yeah, it's, like, a skip and a hop away. Mm-hmm. Pass.
You're gonna do it? You're gonna read it?
Yeah, or should I read a part of it?
Yeah, read a part. Oh, I love how long it is. You can read as much as you feel comfortable.
It's a little... Okay, so... Discontent, discontinued, disadvantage. Because what they really want you to feel is disinterested. Are you satisfied? Who are you voting for? The media? Numb of your business. So numb. I see you performing at the gas station on Sunset. Fill her up. At the Taco Bell off Colorado. Yum, that Tex-Mex fusion must be taking you there, huh? God bless America. Colonize my soul. My mix as fuck lungs breathe that dirty air. Be thankful, they say. Addicted to screens. It's like you're talking to me, but I'm not really listening. Two really famous music artists release a very exclusive album about their lives. All songs written by someone else. On the phone again. Yeah, right, go to the gym. I'm hungry. Gluten-free ass cracks up. L-O-L. L-O-L-O-L. Just saying. Anti-screens, but don't know better. Ask the person to your left if they'll let you break their phone outside on the gravel, or, like, throw it on the freeway. The 101. Wait, are you even listening to me? Excuse me, I'm, like, hella present in this space, and you're on your phone. Fuck, and on someone else's profile? Like, boo-boo, I'm profiling you. Like, fuck it, let's just judge each other. Judge, judge, judge. Matthias, judge. Judy, judge you. Sounds of phones being crushed by little kids who grew up in Boyle Heights. They're like, vete al verga, wey. Muévete al west side, pinche. Phone rings. I quickly answer, OMG, it's my girl. Just wait a second. I was talking real serious, but I need to pause because, like, it's my girl on the phone. True, true, less funny. True, true, less hard. True, true, that boy is cute. Like, are you going to go for it? Like, my ballot is totally going to Alejandro. Verdad? Well, duh. Gets chest tattoo that reads, ignorance is bliss. You're playing in a park, but now you're at a really cute restaurant. The server drops off check. How much are you going to tip? 18%? 206%? Morality. Church bells ring. Raise your hand if you feel guilty. Eight people side-eye to one another. Fat white man gets possessed in the back of the room. A chingao, ¿qué está pasando? Two depressed, repressed, not oppressed people go out for cigarettes and talk about their anxiety, depression, medication. Everyone in this audience has a that's so Raven moment to the Stone Age when medication and pill format didn't even exist. We all laugh, then take a shot of Jalisco's best mezcal. El silencio, the silence. Shh. ADDHBD trigonometry. Quick pause. I know, you probably don't care. Just another despair, a poem. Philanthropic hodgepodge of questioning. Life shit.
Wow. Life shit.
Life shit.
Life shit or life shit?
Life shit.
Yeah. And that was some live shit. I have to say, like, I really... And I actually really like going to live poetry readings. Even though, like, you know, like, in a way, like, a culture of irony puts, like, stigma around it or something. But, I have to say, in my limited experience with that, and I did it in New York too, you, Marcel, and I'm not blowing smoke up your pee hole, are really reclaiming poetry. in like this really great way. Like, there is a way to play with language and rhythm and keep it alive and reinvigorate it and put that back into not some sort of text space and not some sort of visual space, you know, audio visual space, but into a live and poetic space. Like, your meter and your, like, I can see the lines and I can see the gaps and I can see everything, how it'd be written out, but in your words. This is very powerful. I love your poetry. It's so great. And I think it's actually really influential. Like when I hear your poetry, like, I can't unhear it. Not only that, when I hear other people's poetry, I can really hear your poetry first, like, in a weird way. Do you know what I mean?
What?
No, I just feel like it's very, like, influential, really, and powerful.
Dang, thank you.
You know?
I mean. Yeah.
I love None of Your Business.
Yeah, None of Your Business.
Yeah. I was actually going to, like, talk to you a little bit about that. Like really, this is totally unrelated to stuff you read, but, like, triggered in me in a good way, pro-trigger.
Okay.
That should be a distinction, right? Pro-trigger and, like, negative trigger.
Yeah, because there's some, like, sexy-ass triggers.
I love it when something makes me think of something else.
Sex triggers.
Yeah, not PTSD. No PTSD here.
Feet.
Well, you like that? Feet?
I love feet, but go on to
it. Have you ever had one up your butt?
No, but that can happen.
Have you ever, like, what's the longest you've ever eaten on someone's foot?
I mean, I've never timed it, but, yeah, like, during sex, for sure.
It felt like a long time, or it felt like a second?
I couldn't tell, because I was so into it. It was just, like, drooled, and he loved it.
Do you have any issues when it's, like, you look at it and you're like, oh, it's dirty, or it smells?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you gotta
fucking clean your foot.
You better clean it if you want the Marcel.
Yeah, if you want me to lick your foot.
2.0, like, if you want the Marcel treatment. Okay, so do you think that Kim Kardashian leaked her sex tape?
Yeah.
You do, right?
Yeah. And I think it was all very, like, thought out.
Yeah, methodical.
And I think that she learned it all from Paris. I mean, Paris Hilton is, like...
Well, Paris Hilton, do you think she leaked her sex tape?
I
know that legally she got money from Vivid. She sued them, Vivid, who ultimately bought it, and she gets royalties. When Vivid makes money off of the One Night in Paris sex tape, she makes money off of that.
What do you think? Do you think that she leaked it, or maybe she didn't?
I don't think she did, but I think Kim did.
Yeah, I for sure think Kim did.
Oh my God,
are we going to go, Kim? Okay, keep on going.
Is there something wrong with that?
No, I think
I don't think so.
I think it's, like, crazy relevant, and I don't want it to be, but it is.
It's just a way of, like, do you think it's a way of owning, of her owning her, like, sexual value and, like, her sexuality? And is it okay for people to exploit the things that people desire from them, I guess?
I mean, I guess no, because that's how people have made money for centuries.
So you don't think it's okay, right?
I think it's, like,
I think it's fine, right?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Like if I know, like, if, let's say, this is theoretical because it's not true, but let's say there's actually something people desired from me.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, you're a good writer too, boo.
Not really, but
it's fun.
It is fun. That's true. And I hate process, but one thing that I actually really enjoy doing is writing poetry, because I actually feel like it flows. Like, when you're doing it right, it just flows out of you, and literally your mind is faster than your pen, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, like, pretty fun. I'm built to be, like, kind of, like, rebel against the things that I know are good for me, kind of. And I think in a certain extent, we all kind of are all artists or whatever, creative
like
people
capitalism.
Are sort of programmed, right, to go against the thing that they know is, like, easy or good for them. But if I don't know, like, if there was something people demanded of me and I could provide it, would I want to exploit myself? In the past, the answer has been, like, no. Like, when I've had, like, minor successes, like, I never want to replicate that. I never want to be like, oh, like, people want me to do, like, some sort of, like, really provocative, controversial music video. So, like, the next three I'm going to do are just going to be really formal and not provocative. Because I don't want to do that again. Cause, like,
yeah, this is actually something that I constantly think about when I'm in the studio. Because, like, I realize there is, like, like, art objects that are being made that are, like, of trend.
Sure,
and
trend.
That people are into.
Right.
And I get caught up, actually, in that. And a lot of that has to do with materials or, like, like, bullshit theory that's, like, placed on top of, like, these stupid, meaningless things. Just to, like, give it context.
Do you get caught up in that and saying, like, I'm definitely not going to do that? Or do you get caught up in that being, like, how do I twist this to, like, get on it but, like, make it my own?
I think about that for sure. But then I don't actually, like, I look at my work and then I'm like, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing that, right.
But I'm, like, constantly thinking, like, oh, my God, like, should I use metal? Like,
right.
But then I don't end up, reaching that point. I end up, like, at Joanne's.
Right. And why do you think you don't do it? Because of just, like, practical reasons or because of your, like, philosophical reasons?
I want to say practical.